Good morning and welcome back to the Broker's Hour. It is time to take a look at the international economy and financial markets. Imran Anwar is founder of Imran Net Services. He is also the pioneer of the internet email in Pakistan. He's a well-known technology consultant and media expert, particularly on India, Pakistan, and Southeast Asia. And he joins us now. We're going to take a look at what is happening in Southeast Asia. Hi, Imran.
Hi, George. How are you?
I am fine, sir. Well, as you know, the dollar has been plunging, and there's a lot of talk about maybe this is actually part of a setup to let these big hedge funds and all of this exposure in emerging markets and all of that unwind with some profit and the least amount of damage to everyone. I am watching the Southeast Asian markets, for the most part, coming back, breaking through resistance levels to the upside on the currency stabilizing, on the idea that maybe their interbank rates will be coming down. In fact, they are. So let me ask you, though, as you have had a chance to observe, what is the impact been, and what is all of this about as far as the plunging dollar is concerned? What impact is it having on Indonesia, Malaysia, and some of the other more troubled regions of Southeast Asia?
Basically, George, you hit the nail on the head. What is going on is that the entire global financial system is in turmoil and has been for the last several weeks. What that has meant is that a lot of the countries which were previously the miracles of the Asian economy and which had major trading relationships with the West, including the United States, they have lost literally half or more of their value. And as things have continued to get worse, it has led to social unrest. Now, the fact that the dollar's plunge is taking place when these financial scandals/crises have been hitting the markets here, yes, people can try to put two and two together, but sometimes what you see may actually just be the simple truth. Things may just be taking their due course. But yes, there is something to be said that this may be a way to solve the problem with the least amount of damage to everybody and literally kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, I think the lack of comment from world finance ministers and central bankers and the like, a very little concern being expressed about the plunging dollar, and certainly the dollar going through the roof evoked plenty of comment and concern. You would have to believe that these folks have been meeting and talking. They were certainly just prior to the latest drop in the dollar, and the dollar had already been plunging rather sharply. You have to believe they are more than acutely aware of what's going on, and somehow it fits their purpose.
Unless they're all following the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Yes, I definitely think there must be conversations going on, and of course, a lot of people may even be scratching their heads, considering the number of countries involved and just the fact that the whole global economy is intertwined to the extent it is. It's very hard for a level of, not conspiracy is not the right word, but for a level of collusion to take place without somebody making a comment about it. Things have been interesting. For example, even in Malaysia, there has been trade surplus, which has caught a few people by surprise and is giving, for example, the Malaysians a little bit to gloat about and say, hey, who really cares if we are not treating our deputy prime minister, the ex-deputy prime minister, in the best of ways, or if we have put financial controls on our currencies. Just the fact that we have a trade surplus means we're doing well. And now, how does that tie in to the dollar? Was there a plan behind that? I don't know, but maybe it's just we're all getting very lucky in this planet.
Well, it may also be that it does tie in from this standpoint that we've got so much trouble and we're so worried about the economic breakdown of the entire global community here that these kinds of things are going to go without much comment from the international community. We've got enough trouble as it is kind of a thing, and so just the timing of it allows them to be maybe play a little hardball. The way it is going, the gentleman who has been detained in Malaysia, Mr.
Anwar Ibrahim.
Yes, he was allowed to appear in court by Mr. Mahathir
Mohamad.
Yeah, he was the head of the country. In other words, let this gentleman appear in court badly bruised and battered, and you would have to believe that he obviously didn't care that this gentleman was making his case that he'd been beaten by the police and during his detention. And as a matter of fact, might have even been sending some kind of a message that he doesn't care. I mean, that's the assessment of some. But the fact is, there hasn't been that much of an outcry from the world community. It seems to be going unnoticed. We just have too many things to worry about right now, and it appears, and they're getting away with it. I'm wondering what the mood is internally, though, in Malaysia.
That's a very good point and very valid observation. Mr. Mohamed is known to be to be a belligerent speaker, but what is even more interesting is that he has been known to follow up his words with actions. In the 80s, he had his little tiff with Britain and so on, and even with Australia, he has gone to verbal blows at least. And he has done two things. One is obviously he's sending a message to any potential opponents that if my the apple of my eye can be thrown out like this, you should be forewarned.
Right.
At the same time, he's also telling the West that, hey, we have the economic clout to stand on our own, and we don't want you to be telling us how to run our country. Three, it is also a show of bravado because of what happened in Indonesia, where, as you probably know, the late Mr. Sukarno's daughter is now becoming very politically active, leading to sort of even Mr. Habibie feeling under pressure. And I'm sure Mr. Mohamed doesn't want to be in that same situation.
And of course, the Indonesian government under Suharto and later Habibie more or less thumbed their nose at the IMF and got away with it.
Absolutely. And in addition, he also has very strict controls on the media. And the Malaysian media have been, as a journalist, I was very, I'm almost disappointed, disillusioned, even frustrated and angry that they have actually even suggested that Mr. Mohamed is doing the right thing, and perhaps he should take the cue from Singapore and crack down on foreign media and Western journalists, etc. Meantime, the government of Malaysia doesn't allow them to broadcast using state facilities, which means even if the Deputy Prime Minister showed up in court beaten up, if you and I cannot get these images because of lack of other facilities available, you and I won't hear about it. And even if we do, it's a calculated gamble on his part, no pun intended.
Yeah. It's also more hearsay than it is as vivid as if it comes in your living room. I mean, we in the States may see more than they see.
Absolutely. And even, as a matter of fact, the perception of what happened to Mr. Ibrahim is whoever happened to see him, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, the whole nation could not have seen him. In the meantime, even if we in the West or our policymakers here in the United States are to see it, everybody's sitting in front of C-SPAN or a CNN or other media and finding out what's going on in Congress right now.
Yeah.
So yes, you're right. We're distracted by those things, too.
The last thing in the world anybody's worried about is Malaysia. And you know, the Malaysians are strutting because they even urged their ASEAN neighbors recently, I'm looking at a report, to stay out of their internal affairs. And so they're not just saying the West. They're saying even our neighbors, keep, you know, mind your own business, which is a belligerent position.
They're
feeling pretty confident.
Right. That is Mr. Mohamed's style. But I think the fact that the whole country can be held hostage to one person's will suggests that this ball that has been set in motion with the Indonesian change will eventually find its way even into the Malaysian government.
We're out of time, Imran. Thank you for joining us, and you have a great day and a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.